Welcome to Our Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today, we have the CEO of Benefits Data Trust, Trooper Sanderson. Trooper, thank you for coming on today.
Thank you very much for having me.
I don't even know how to begin this conversation because we're in the middle of the COVID quarantine as we're sitting down today. And do you want to give us really quickly, give us the mission statement and who you are?
Sure, absolutely. And yes, these are just extraordinary times. And COVID-19 has not only created a public health emergency, but it is creating an economic emergency that is going to be very tough for a lot of people. And Benefits Data Trust has been around since 2005 to help people navigate the public benefit system so that they can get the help to buy food, to get health care, to heat their home, to pursue education, that they need to really make ends meet and hopefully get ahead. And that mission is really only going to be more important in these months and perhaps years ahead as we dig out of this COVID-19 related economic crisis.
Who do you help? Because you're really an interesting organization. You're a nonprofit. You work with a lot of the big names in direct service providing. But now, do you work with the agencies that are providing the funds, or do you work for the individuals who are looking to receive funds? And again, tell us what funds you are helping with.
Sure, absolutely. Our core focus is anyone who is eligible for public benefits, who is having trouble navigating the system to get them, to ensure that they can, you know, buy food and get health care and take care of their basic needs. And these systems are extremely complicated. I would challenge anyone with the best degrees and pedigree and professional background to spend some time trying to apply for SNAP, or what's called food stamps, and see how well that you do. So these are complicated programs, and our mission is to really serve the people who need to be connected to those benefits. Now, we work with and critical partners are government agencies such as the City of Philadelphia and state agencies, community-based organizations, and others who are really trying to also serve those people. And we work together to make sure that the folks who are eligible for benefits can get them.
So you really are kind of a hybrid. You're working with these agencies to simplify or make the processes more accessible. And at the same time, then you're also working with the individuals on the other side.
That is absolutely correct. So, for example, in Philadelphia, we have a partnership with the City of Philadelphia for the Benefilly effort that works with community-based organizations across the city to reach out to people who may be eligible for benefits and make sure that they can get them. And we do that through a range of things. Some of it is working directly on the ground through community-based organizations that people trust in their neighborhoods. We also have a hotline, which is especially important during these extraordinary times when so many people are struggling and trying to figure out how to make ends meet. And anyone in Philadelphia who needs help should call our hotline at 833-373-5868. And anyone in Pennsylvania but outside of Philadelphia should call 833-373-5869, and we'll do our best to help you.
What are some of the benefits and entitlements that you work with?
Sure, absolutely. So in Philadelphia, we screen and help people apply for about 9 benefits. In other parts of the country where we work, there can be other benefits as well. And that's everything from SNAP, or what used to be called food stamps, to health care such as Medicaid and the Children's Health Insurance Program, to heating your home with the Low-Income Housing Energy Assistance Program. In Pennsylvania, there is a seniors prescription drug assistance program that we can help people access. And so really across a range of basic needs, we can help people meet them.
And you're based in Philadelphia?
Correct. We are in Center City. Yes, we are. We are proud Philadelphians.
And yet now, so this is an organization, though, that is growing. Are you a unique operation? Because I know you're in multiple states now. Are others emulating you, or are you one of other groups that perform similar services?
Well, of course, I'm somewhat biased, so I think we are the most special and precious organization that's around. Frankly, the crown jewel of our organization are our extraordinary people, many of whom live right here in Philadelphia, who spend their days helping people. But I think at a broader level, what makes Benefits Data Trust unique is that we combine using cutting-edge technology and data science with a really high touch premium level direct service. So you can call us and not only get basic help, but be treated with the respect and kindness and sympathy that most of us take for granted, but in many communities is a rare commodity. And we can also work on policy innovation and engagement so that not only do we help people connect with the system as it is today, but we can work with government officials and others to improve the current system so that we can have fundamental change and a better delivery of these services across the board.
So as you're drawing in the numbers of individuals who are using your services to apply for these benefits, you're gathering data that then you can in turn go back to the agency supplying the benefits or entitlements and say, here are your problems, or here is where you fail to actually connect with the people who need to access the benefit.
Well, and this is the extraordinary thing with data science and our work that we are in the middle of to really deepen our use of data science so that we can glean the insights that we gain from our experience with people and other data sources and responsibly find those insights that can better serve people who are in need and make sure that we can reach communities and people who are hard to reach and hard to serve, but also ultimately take all that we are learning and experiencing and help translate that back in to officials and others in positions of responsibility so that we can fundamentally improve these programs and systems.
Well, let's talk about who is receiving benefits to begin with. What communities are you serving, and are there unique problems to some of them? Because I would guess that access to technology is going to be a problem with perhaps some of the older people who are looking for benefits.
Sure. Well, first of all, I think it's when we talk about public benefits and programs such as SNAP and Medicaid and low-income heating assistance, we should remember that the people who receive these benefits are frankly as diverse and varied as the country. These are people who've experienced intergenerational poverty and are really dealing with some fundamental systemic issues. But these are also people who get up every day and work and clock in hours and overtime and just really can't make ends meet. And there are others who may not have ever thought their life path would mean that they would come into needing public benefits. And that's especially true now with this evolving economic crisis. And so when you think about who is the person on public benefits, you can look to your right and your left and people who are in your own life and say there's a chance that either they are using them now or may need them in the future. Now, the challenge is that we have people who are dealing with very stressful and in some cases traumatic circumstances, being on the edge of economic insecurity or mired in economic insecurity and poverty. And so the challenge of navigating these systems when you are under stress is something that we are trying to help bridge and alleviate. Sometimes the barrier can be technology, and when you have to file forms online and try to understand all sorts of things, if you have limited connectivity or you may not be as adept at using modern technology, that can be a challenge. In other cases, it could be language barriers and other things that you need help with. And frankly, in many cases, it's just time and mind space. If you are spending your day and you're in tough circumstances, really just trying to figure out how to survive, how to take care of your family, how to figure out where is your next dollar going to come from? The last thing you have the mind space to do is figure out how to fill in complicated forms and collect documents that are up in the attic. And so that's where you need partners such as Benefits Data Trust and working with in Philadelphia, the city and the Benefilly partners to help you to really smooth the path and help you connect to those benefits.
Do you want to throw some numbers out right now? How many people and of course, we're going to assume that this is pre-COVID-19 and before this crisis through, you know, just hundreds of thousands of more people into the system, millions into it.
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, we've seen just alone in the past month, you know, a 70-80% increase in the volume of our calls in some of the markets where we serve. We know that every year right here in Philadelphia, there is $450 million worth of benefits that are left on the table every year. And that's money that can be going to better health care and to easing hunger. But let's also remember that as important as it is to make sure that people aren't hungry and that they get health care, when we're talking about the economy, these public benefit dollars can go into supporting the local grocery store, making sure the community health clinic and program is able to stay open. So really, public benefits are not only there for people who directly need them, but for those of us who live within the radius of the institutions that are supported by the dollars coming from these benefits, they're benefiting us as well.
Oh, well, you're speaking into that old myth, but an entitlement is an entitlement because you have earned it through your tax dollars, et cetera. And as far as receiving SNAP benefits, SNAP is going to pay the farmer for growing that food. It's going to go to the middleman who sells that food. It benefits all of us to have these dollars in circulation.
That is exactly right. And I think you only have to look at the history of some of the public benefits programs, such as nutrition assistance, to see that it is this great mutually beneficial relationship between people who are in need and the producers and sectors of our economy who are supplying those goods. So, you know, for example, when we were creating the school lunch program and other anti-hunger programs, it was a partnership between those in Congress and elsewhere who were concerned about fighting poverty and hunger and those who represented farming constituencies, where this was a market to serve. And so one of the things that we need to think about is there's $450 million left on the table in Philadelphia. Across the country, we conservatively estimate that that is $60 billion left on the table of public benefit support every year in this country. Those are dollars that are not only going towards making people healthier and families more comfortable and living in decent housing, but it's also dollars that we're not putting into the grocery stores, into the hospitals and the clinics, into paying the utility bills so that, frankly, those unpaid bills are not passed on to other consumers. So those are dollars that can really be benefiting all of us. And we need to do everything we can possibly do to make the current system work better today and then fundamentally improve it tomorrow and going forward so that we don't have those types of deficits.
So why are these dollars going unclaimed? I know in a lot of cases, especially in blended families where going to immigration issues, children may be eligible for services, but one parent or one child is not. So nobody applies. Some people just don't realize that they actually qualify. Nobody thinks that they need assistance.
That's exactly right. So I think, you know, at a really basic level, these programs are very complicated and cumbersome. And, you know, in some respects, because we are dealing with the public's dollars, and we have to use them wisely, we want to make sure that those who get the benefits are the ones who are eligible for it. So there do need to be some application procedures, but it has sort of grown into this almost hairball that's impossible for even the most sophisticated person to navigate. So that's at a basic level. And then you add on the fact that there are complicating circumstances. You know, family and household makeups are diverse, and it may not be obvious when you're looking at a program whether you qualify or not. And then you add on other conditions where people are fearful in some communities of even asking for benefits in connecting with the public system to see if they are eligible. And so it creates a chilling effect where people would rather suffer and be hungry or go without health care than sticking their head above the parapet and seeing if they're eligible for benefits. And so that's why, really practically speaking, we need to make sure that these programs can work better now and into the future. But when we talk about the current economic crisis, and we have millions of Pennsylvanians who've applied for unemployment insurance, who have unexpectedly found themselves without jobs. And we found during the economic crisis, during the Great Recession, that a remarkably small percentage of people who were claiming unemployment benefits were also on SNAP or food stamps. And it's an interesting piece because if you either have, this is the first time you're using public benefits, or you may have used it in other circumstances, people don't naturally think, well, I'm claiming unemployment, I'm out of a job, clearly I'm under some economic strain, I must naturally be eligible for these other benefits. So there's a psychological bridge that we have to cross to help people connect that. And then let's be honest, there is a stigma about claiming public benefits in the United States. It's part of our sort of bootstrap frontier mindset and mentality, which can be helpful in some things, but it can also create a barrier for people feeling shame about claiming public benefits. But here's the truth. There is no shame in claiming public benefits because we as citizens came together to create a country to take care of each other. And part of that is using our tax dollars to be there for programs that can help people when they're in need. So while we are dealing with the operational side and technology side, and that's something we are very good at, frankly, I think as a country and as a society, we need to have the kind of conversations that takes the stigma out of asking for help, and particularly public help.
If you are just joining us, that is Trooper Sanders. He is the CEO of Benefits Data Trust. It is a nonprofit organization that works to fight poverty through finding the benefits and the resources that you are entitled to receive. And if you'd like more information, they can be found at bdtrust.org. That's bdtrust.org. There's a hotline in Philadelphia at 833-373-5868. And outside of Philadelphia, in Pennsylvania, 833-373-5869. Now, I'm just going to throw this out and let you talk, okay? Who is eligible to use your services? And when someone does use you as that intermediary to help them get through this, are you more successful than someone who tries individually? Because I think we've all heard that common saw, you're always denied until you fight.
Right. Well, first of all, with these hotlines, anyone who needs help, who believe that, well, frankly, whether you believe you're eligible or not, we would much rather hear from people who are facing challenging circumstances and need help. We strongly encourage you, please call us so that we can at least screen you and ask questions and see if you are eligible. But then I think, you know, it's always helpful with these types of programs to have someone who knows the system and who can help you navigate things. Now, that said, there are people who are perfectly fine doing this on their own, or who might just need a bit of information, a little bit of guidance, and then they can take care of things themselves. And, you know, at Benefits Data Trust, we are developing capabilities to meet people where they are. Not everybody needs to call into our contact center and talk to our great people to get screened and applied for benefits. Other people, you know, can use just with text information to get a nudge that they are eligible, and they can use their own devices to apply. And others just need the broad information. So I think, you know, we need to meet people where they are. But I think the important thing is for people to know if you are in need, there is help out there, and we are happy to talk to you.
Are you a navigator? Because you mentioned that someone who may be applying for unemployment for the very first time may be qualified for SNAP, or maybe it turns out that someone in the family could get Medicare. Are you a navigator as well? When you talk to someone and you're screening them to see if they qualify, are you saying, hey, have you considered this program as well?
Well, that's a very good question. You know, depending on the state or jurisdiction where we work, we can screen for multiple benefits. So, for example, in Philadelphia, we can screen for nine benefits. And so someone might call us because they received a letter or received some outreach about hunger and about getting food assistance and SNAP. And they call us, and we, you know, our great people talk to them. And during the course of that conversation and understanding their eligibility for SNAP, we can also screen for other benefits. And so the conversation may turn to, you have children in the household. Let's look at the Children's Health Insurance Program or Medicaid. Maybe it's WIC and that Nutrition Assistance Program. You know, you're living in a home that may be eligible, and you may be eligible for the low-income heating assistance program. And so part of unlocking access to benefits is really having that trusted and frankly sympathetic conversation with people so that they feel comfortable having, you know, talking about themselves, talking about their circumstances and what their families need. And because of the platforms that we have developed as part of the Benefilly effort and others, we can then screen across multiple benefits and get people applied.
Right now, especially with new programming just being started as an emergency band-aid for what's happening with the economic shutdown right now, is anybody up to speed? Is anybody feeling competent or confident enough to try and tackle this stuff?
you know, it is very difficult. And I want to, even though, you know, we are in the business of trying to cut through the clutter of these programs, I don't want to be glib to say that these are just simple things. And if only we waved a magic wand and made them easier. When you're talking about, you know, multi-billion dollar programs and the public money and the complication around it, there are going to be issues around that. And so it is difficult for anybody to navigate this. And that's where I think it gets back to, we need to eliminate the stigma around public benefits, because there are people out there who are going hungry and going without health care who believe that, well, if I need help, this I can't be, you know, this is going to be shameful. And am I stupid because I can't apply for food stamps on my own? And the answer is no, you are not. These are very difficult programs. They're very technical. You can get someone with the greatest capacity in other parts of their life, and I can guarantee you, I can gum up their works with one application. So reach out for help, and we're here to help you.
How does somebody prepare to apply? Is there anything that someone should start thinking about now? Because there, more and more people will start losing their jobs. As some go back on the job, others will become unemployed in the shakeout here. What should we be thinking about and getting ready?
Sure. Well, I think, you know, it's always a good idea for people to really think about and even maybe jot down in basic information about, you know, you and your household, who is in it, who may be earning what, making sure you have various documents that for your income and other types of things. It's always good just to make sure you have those in a safe place. Because inevitably you're going to need those to get help or for other things. But if you don't have that and you are just stressed out and are trying to figure out how do you buy groceries next week, or how do you make sure that an aging parent can pay their heating bill, just give us a call. Just reach out, because, you know, our folks work day in and day out, and they will walk you through the process and let you know exactly what you need to get. And so you really don't have to stress about that. We will help you.
You work with some amazing organizations here. Do you want to talk a little bit about some of those? And a lot of those do work with people who are facing housing issues. We're talking about language barriers, addressing that here.
Absolutely. So first of all, I do have to take my hat off to the City of Philadelphia and their teams for the extraordinary work they do in standing up the BeneFilly program and this extraordinary partnership. And we have a range of organizations across Philadelphia that we work with, everyone from Project Home and Catholic Social Services to the Campaign for Working Families, and so many more that for time I'm not able to mention. But these are organizations that are in the community, in the neighborhoods, who people know, who they trust. And so where our partnership is helpful is that we can bring the expertise and the tools to help screen people and get them applied for benefits. These community organizations know people, they are trusted by them, and so they can be the bridge, and we can provide some of the tools and systems and people. And so it's a great partnership.
Let's talk a little bit about innovation, because again, you are, I mean, the word data is in your in your name. You're assembling all this. You're working with organizations and other agencies, et cetera, to help streamline, make things user-friendly, more accessible and all that. So are you working with organizations that are on the ground to teach them your techniques as well? And I know you're also expanding this. If we were not talking about COVID-19, we'd be talking about your programming for student assistance.
That's correct. That's absolutely right. So we are both expanding our use of data science and analytics to make sure that we can not only make our work more efficient and effective, but take some of those insights to help other organizations and policymakers and those in government agencies who are running these programs, help them as they are trying to continuously improve these programs. And then we are building software tools and other things to not only power our work, but to allow community-based organizations who may be focused on, you know, serving children's healthcare needs or helping people get jobs. And instead of them having to divert precious resources to standing up their own benefit screening and application process, they can take our tools and our software products and overlay it in what they do and get more efficiency out of that. In some places, we are working to take our technology tools and working with state governments so that they can take, you know, our APIs and put it into their systems, their portals that allow people to access government over the internet and get screened and go through that process. So I think our ultimate goal is not only to serve as many people today to make sure that they get the benefits they are entitled to, but to really put our city, our state, and frankly, the country on a better pathway so that we fundamentally improve how we provide benefit services in this country. Some of that is with tools, some of that is with the human-to-human contact, and other things are with policy change as well.
Since all of this is talking about the application process, so you're looking at becoming the interface between the individual and the government.
That's exactly right. And I think given how complicated these programs are and how busy people's lives are on a good day, never mind during times of, you know, profound economic and personal stress and crisis, people need a bridge. They need someone in an organization who is trusted, who can help them navigate and make absolute efficient use of their time. You know, just a few weeks ago, one of my colleagues received a call from someone who had taken the day off of work because she thought that she was going to have to spend the day walking from government office to government office, applying for a suite of benefits. She spent, I believe, about 60 to 90 minutes on the phone with one of my colleagues and was able to get screened, an application sent through on multiple benefits, and she had the rest of the day. And that's an important thing. You know, maybe she decided just to take the day off and have a day just to rest and relax, which, you know, many of us need. But also just think about it. Someone who's earning a modest income, maybe working by the hour, having to take a day off and losing a day of pay can be financially devastating. But you're going to do it if that's the difference between your family being hungry or your child getting immunized or your house being cold and not. And part of our value and the partnership with Benefilly and with the city is to make sure that people don't have to make those types of sacrifices and that we can make things a bit easier for them.
Wonderful parting words. However, we still have 1 minute, and I've got to ask, because this is a region that spans counties and it spans states. If I live in Jersey, if I live in Delaware, are there resources such as you, or do you have words of comfort or advice for them?
So there are programs who are on the ground. I hate to put them on the spot, but I think, you know, for people who need help navigating these programs, let's remember that your members of Congress, your senators, they have caseworkers in their local offices who know how to navigate some of these programs and to be able to point you to the benefits data trust organizations that are in those locations where we don't work. So I think the most important thing is if you need help, if you are under stress, if you are facing crisis, please reach out and get help. There is no shame in that. These programs are here for you. Your tax dollars and your effort have gone into creating them. You need them now so that you can get back on your feet and contribute so that someone else can get the help that they need.
That's a great wrap up right there. When we go to your website, we find out more information, of course, and the phone numbers that you mentioned.
Oh, yes. The phone number. So in Philadelphia, it is 833-373-5868. And in Pennsylvania, it is 833-373-5869.
And of course, if somebody, I know that you do take donations for your work, but at the same time, if someone wants to get involved or if they want to invite you in to discuss this, if I'm a community organization, are you looking for interaction with us?
We would love to hear from people. I think, through our website, there's a way to get in touch with us. We are trying to meet this moment of crisis. And so for people and organizations out there who can help support us and strengthen our work, we welcome that. Other organizations where we might be helpful to them, we would certainly love hearing from you. And most importantly, for people who are in Philadelphia and Pennsylvania who hear this show, who need help, please call those hotline numbers because we're here to help you.
And of course, the website is bdtrust.org, and that's for Benefits Data Trust, bdtrust.org. My guest today, it's CEO Trooper Sanderson, and thank you for calling in today.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Our Delaware Valley.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.